bitches. I hope you had the merriest of merry Christmases. I hope you had a fantastic new year. We're just going into it. Jess, how was your new year?
Hello. It was good. Kyle and I were to bed by 8:30.
So you didn't even make it into the new year?
No. I mean, wow. I made it into the new year the next morning. I said, happy 2022 the next morning. But that's about it. How was yours? Because I saw you went out.
We did. Well, out. I mean, we went to Jack's and Brittany's. We arrived at 5 so that the babies could play. More like 6. So the babies could play. Hartford is like fully mobile, walking all over the place.
Oh, my God.
It was so cute, though, because it was like Brittany was going to get ready. And she was like, who's going to watch Cruise while I'm getting ready? Because Jax was trying to get the food all organized. And it was like everyone was helping with everyone's kid. Wow. And then Stassi tore her tights. So she was changing her tights. And Bo was trying to help Jax. And Bo was like, Lala, can you grab Hartford? She's like playing in the dog's water dish. You know, it was just like really, really cute and fun. And we did make it to midnight. We left Jackson Brittany's before midnight. Mm-hmm. Ocean was dead asleep by 8 o'clock, but I had to wake her up to transport her back home. Mm-hmm. And she made it until midnight.
She did. So you made it to midnight here at the house?
Yes. I was like walking up the stairs to put Ocean to bed.
That's so exciting.
I know. And I looked in her eyes and I said, Happy New Year, my love.
That's so cute.
So cute.
Do the babies, because I saw a video on your Instagram, which was hilarious. But when you sit the babies next to each other, do they like play together?
They do.
Oh, okay.
It's more like fighting over the toy. You know, like Cruz ripped Ocean's head.
That's what I saw. And I was
her like
dying.
Bow. Hilarious. But you know, I'm telling you what. Cruz is the chillest baby in the world. Like when we were leaving at like 11:30, Cruz was still awake.
Really?
Doesn't fuss. Like he's full on super baby.
Oh my God. Like still awake, hadn't napped, was just up with the adults.
He was wanting to be a part of all of it.
Oh, that's cute.
It was cute.
I love that.
I was like, Ocean, if I kept her up, would be screaming bloody murder.
Right. Right.
She has no patience, no tolerance. When it's time for bed, she lets you know.
But also same. Same.
Same. That's exactly. It's my reaction too. When you me keep too. Me so it was just like, I had a fantastic holiday. And I slid in to a man's DM for the first time since I was like 23.
Stop it.
Yes, I did.
Hold on. How did that feel? How did that feel?
You know, it felt strange because I don't slide in the DM. Like I slid in the DM when I was like drinking.
Right.
And like young. Mm-hmm. But I haven't slid in the DM and I don't even know if I have game anymore.
I mean, I'm sure you do. How much can you tell us about what made you do that and then how it's going?
So the great thing about it is I'm obviously just in this zone of like, I got my baby. Mm-hmm. I want to work really hard and create an empire for the Give Them Lala brand.
Yes.
So my expectations are very low. Like I'm just looking to like sit and have a conversation. And like I said, I don't have any expectations with it. Mm-hmm. But it went well. Like my DM cherry and just talking to a man.
Yeah.
Who's not my previous relationship. It's just like, this is fun. And obviously I have a little bit of game left if like there's communication happening.
So you got a response.
I got a response.
Huge.
I'll be honest, Jess.
What?
My first DM, the initial one. Oh, no. Was just emojis and not even anything sexy, like not even anything hot.
That's funny. That's how do you respond to that? Do you just like it or something?
Well, he did. He responded. We like sparked a conversation, but I was like, what does one say in someone's DM? By the way, for my listeners, my people, let me know. Please call in to 1-866-LALAPOD and let me know how to get game back.
Yeah.
And like, what should an initial DM be like? Because I think it's different. It's like, are you looking for a relationship? Are you looking for a booty call? Because it's very different. What are you looking for with this initial DM?
Right.
Who the fuck knows?
Oh my God. That's huge. That's how Kyle and I, it was on Facebook. So that's embarrassing because it was years ago.
Wait, but was that before IG?
No, it wasn't before.
When did Instagram even come to be? A long time ago, right?
Right. It wasn't before Instagram, but it was when Facebook, it was like actually 6 years ago. It was when Facebook was still active, kind of.
Is Facebook classier than Instagram?
No, I don't think so.
It's all the same?
I think Facebook is like more ancient. Like I, if I'm going to DM my aunt or uncle or like grandma, I use Facebook.
Oh, okay.
If you slid in someone's Facebook DMs now, I feel like they'd be like, they'd not, they, if they saw it, they wouldn't respond because that's just like, what are you, 80 years old?
Is that Messenger?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually just discovered that that existed and I downloaded. I was like, what is this? And I downloaded it and I had so many
messages
from the Facebook Messenger. And I was like, what is this even? I don't know. I'm 31 and I act like I'm 90 as if I like just arrived on Earth and I'm like, what is all this that's changed? It's like, Lala, you've been a part of this for a long time.
Yeah.
Where have I been though? I know. Watching Housewives, obviously.
Watching Housewives. Well, congrats, because this is a story that we will check in on.
You know, it has less to do with the dude and more to do with the fact that I repopped my DM cherry, and I think that is something to celebrate. Yes. I'm about to pop some Starla non-alcoholic wine after this podcast.
Hell yes.
Maybe during. Lisa, why don't you get on that, Mom? I'm being serious. Get off your ass. I'm just kidding. But really. Okay, so before we get this popping, I want to remind everybody that my soon-to-be empire, give them Lala, is going on tour. That's what's up. Give them Lala, the brand new tour. Tickets are available now. Just slide onto my Instagram page, click the link, or just go to givethemlive.com to buy your tickets. We are kicking off the tour in Irvine, California. We're then going to Fort Lauderdale, Clearwater, Orlando, Atlanta. I call it Hotlanta.
Yes.
Yes, Hotlanta. Baby. Nashville, New Orleans, Houston, Austin. And we will wrap it up in Dallas, Texas. And I can't wait. Like, let me know what you would like to see, because this is a night where, like, we're vibing. This is like a hangout. So it's about y'all, really.
I agree.
There we go.
I agree.
Did you see that some people think you agree with me too much?
You guys, Lala, let me just tell you something. You are the most inspirational woman. Listen to me. Okay, I was joking there, but I actually do think you are.
Here's the thing. What type of person is like, I'm going to get me an assistant who disagrees with me all the time. We're not on the same page, and she most of the time thinks I'm a piece of shit.
I know.
Nobody.
And you know what's funny, too? I'm a words of affirmation person, but it's very important to all my words of affirmation people out there. Your love language, if that's how you show it, is to be genuine with it, and your words are real, because if you're a words of affirmation person and you just say things that are false, then you're just a liar. So I never do that, and the things I say to you are genuine and real, but I do understand, I mean, just because of what some family and friends have said to me, that it can get a little obnoxious and annoying. And I hear you, people, and I might tone it down just a little.
In all fairness, you started co-hosting this podcast with me in the, I want to say, it should have been the darkest time of my life.
Right.
I actually think it was like a very bright time in my life, but you started co-hosting with me and I needed to hear what you were saying.
Okay.
You know, like when someone's down in the dumps, not the time to be disagreeing with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
Put on your kiss ass hat and start to smooch in.
And I saw,
I need it.
And like, to my credit, to now kiss my own ass, I saw Lala go through a lot, and the things I were saying, all very true, but I do understand when I, you know, you take a step back, the listeners did not see a lot of that. The listeners did not know a lot of what was going on. So I was saying things and complimenting you, and I think, you know, they still don't know a lot that's going on, and that's for reasons of, you know, your choice, but I think I was complimenting you and saying a lot of things that I felt and I believed, where maybe some people would think, what is going on?
Right.
Why
I get
is she
that.
Like praising her 24/7? Whatever. But anyway, I still, let me set this straight. I don't disagree with anything I said. Everything I said was genuine, but I can take a step back and say and see how it could be a little obnoxious, and I'm going to tone it down. But I love you, Lala.
I love you too, Jess. And Jessica does disagree with me. The only difference is her disagreement is not vocal. Like, I'll present something that I think. Like, if the listener's going to be in the room when you disagree,
right.
It's the facial expression right. where I'm like, Jess thinks this is stupid.
Or I've been like, I like to disagree in a way where I present another solution. So
there it is.
Yes.
And that's why, that was another reason why I hired you
oh.
during your interview, because you talked about solutions.
Solutions. Yes. If I hear you say something, if Lala says something to me and I don't agree, I'm not like, no, that's dumb. End of feedback. I'm going to say, okay, I hear you, but what about? And I just think that's the most constructive, you guys. That's just how I live my life. I do it with my boyfriend. I do it with my parents, my family. And that's just how I live. And I'm 30 and I feel good living that way.
You should. You're a good person, good to your core. And I am honored to have you in my world.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off. Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because coverage repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Let's get some voicemails to roll in.
Hi, Lala. This is Bethany from a small town in Southern Illinois. My question for you today is, are you writing another book? I read your first one. I read it in 2 days. I keep it next to my nightstand. Just in case I ever need any wisdom, I can go back to certain pages I have marked down. And after everything you're currently going through, being a strong mama and being the beautiful person that you are and the inspiration you are to everybody, if you would be writing another book sometime soon, kind of your journey, your new journey of life. So I love you and thank you for just giving everybody inspiration and being, you know, the best mom to Ocean. It's so inspiring. You're so strong, and just know it does not go unnoticed. So love you. Bye.
Bethany, I want to hug you. That was so sweet. And I love when people say that they read my book fast, because I'm like, I want to be like, because it's that good. But obviously you're not reading Shakespeare. It's a pretty easy read, you know, like, but I love that people are enjoying it. I love even more that me being honest about my journey in life so far has been inspiring to people. That was the whole goal of the book. I think becoming a national bestseller was just like the cherry on top. And I think it is very important that I write another book. And spoiler alert, I've already started. So yes, there will be another book coming. I say this all the time. I feel like I've lived 100 lifetimes since I wrote that book. And I became a mother. And anyone who is a mom knows the second you find out that you're pregnant and you feel that first kick and just all of those monumental moments during pregnancy to having them, you become a different human being. And your goal in life and what you want to see in the world changes. You know, you're much more woke, is what the cool kids say. Wow. I'm woke.
I love it.
And, you know, there are certain chapters in that book that I want to expand deeper on them. You know, this wasn't a book where I said, yeah, let's give the people 1,000 pages to read of Give Them Lala. No, it was, what were these moments that were very defining? And now looking back, there were so many moments that were inside of moments that I shared in the first book, Give Them Lala, that I think need to be spoken about. Mm-hmm. I just, there's something that's tugging on me to share a little bit deeper. When something like what I've been through happens and your blinders are taken off and you're open to this brand new world and, you know, the independence and just being a woman. You know, I'm not the 26-year-old girl that I was, or 20, 23, 24 when I was on Vanderpump Rules. Like, I'm a grown woman. Mm-hmm. And you change. And like I've said before, I reserve the right to change. And I reserve the right to go back and say, you know, what I said then, there's more to it. And the control is now gone. And I'm going to share maybe the parts that weren't so great that I can now share.
Oh, I love, you know, that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for that. I think people will enjoy it. So yes, Bethany, I hope. Long-winded answer.
And I love you too, Bethany.
Do we have another one?
Yes, we do.
Let's roll it.
Hi, Lala. My name is Ellen. I'm from Michigan. I just recently lost my dad 2 months ago to liver cancer. He went to the hospital, and then within 2 weeks, I knew that he was going to pass away, which was a shock to me. I've been thinking about how strong you are with losing your dad, and I just want some tips and advice to help me day by day. I know that I will never get over it, but I just want to get a little bit stronger each day. So I know that you could give me some great advice, and that would be really awesome. I'm a huge fan. So much love to you and Ocean. Thank you so much.
Ellen, first of all, I am so beyond sorry for your loss. It is heartbreaking. I'm sitting here, I think it's been 4 years since my dad passed away, and it does not get easier. Like, time, they say time heals all wounds. I think it allows us to cope a little bit better each day, but there are moments still that I'll sit in my bed and just completely break down sobbing, and it feels like he passed away yesterday. And I think it's very important when you suffer a traumatic loss like that to surround yourself with people who allow you to go through the emotional roller coaster, because you're going to feel angry, you're going to feel enraged, you're going to feel so sad that you can't get off the floor, and you need to allow yourself those moments and be around people who allow you to have those moments. Because to try and sit here and say, I'm going to be strong through this. No, you just need to be a person who's suffering a loss right now. You don't need to be strong. That's going to come with time, you know, and Ellen, your dad will make sure of that. There were days and I turned to alcohol. That's when my addiction was like heavy, heavy duty after I lost my dad. It was bottle of champagne next to my bed, going to bed with it and waking up to it. Like, that's what I was relying on. And if I could give anyone advice, it would be to steer clear of any substance like alcohol during a time of grieving, because it prolongs all of the process that is absolutely necessary for you to go through in order to be that strong person. It doesn't allow you to be in your right frame of mind to go through all of the emotions. It doesn't. It masks it. Then you wake up, like I did 6 months later, and you're like, how does it feel like I've made no emotional progress? Because I didn't allow myself to. I was too busy diving into the bottle every chance I got. But try to remain in your right frame of mind, because every single day you're going to go through the waves of it all. But there will be a day where you're like, wow, my coping mechanism is on point. It's just how we're built. You know, I think, I don't know what your higher power is, Ellen. I don't know what a lot of our listeners' higher power is. Mine happens to be God, so we'll stick with that for now. I think God put it in us to deal with the loss of a parent, because it's the circle of life. I don't think he put it in us to deal with the loss of a child. I think that is something where it's, you're throwing me off. This is going against the circle of life. But just know, like, you have it in you to cope with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope that that was of some sort of help to you. And you're going to see little things that remind you of him, and not even remind you, but it's like, oh my gosh, my dad is like here with me right now. You're going to feel him. When I lost my dad, it was so strange what happened, what started happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, I got sober. I'm blessed with this beautiful baby. These little things where I'm like, my dad is doing some mad work up there.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's getting no rest, just completely slaying the game on my behalf.
Yeah.
No, for real.
No, things even happen now where I'm like, I'll just say, just from habit, like, someone up there is watching you and you're like, oh yeah, it's my dad.
My dad, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, my dad is doing mad work. He's got a lot of shit on his back right now.
Yeah.
But he's a champion, just like Ellen's dad. So I hope that that brought you a little bit of peace and comfort. And I love you so, so much.
Hey, Lala, I was just calling to see if on that one podcast when you had the psychic on, he definitely seemed to know what was going on in your life and repeatedly kept asking, or telling you rather, that you would be okay on your own and that you are strong. Do you now believe that he 100% knew what was going on with he who shall not be named? And yourself, and that he was trying to really signal to you that you would be fine. Thanks, and can't wait to hear your answer.
Whew. You know, I go back to that podcast often because he absolutely knew. I mean, Chris Medina is beyond gifted. You know, I think there are some people out there that they say that they're, you know, mm-hmm. these gifted individuals. I believe that there truly are people out there that are gifted like Chris Medina, and I was beyond honored to have him come and be on the podcast. And what happened after that podcast is something people don't know. I felt Chris Medina was definitely holding back on the podcast. When the podcast was over, Chris gave me a hug. He whispered in my ear, I need to have a private session with you immediately. Obviously, talk to Jess, let's do it yesterday.
Yeah.
So we did a private session, and what he said was profound, and everything he said that was going to happen actually happened.
Wow.
So he didn't get into details, but he told me to watch out for certain times, like dates.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he told me to look for actually happened. Now, I thought that maybe like me and he who we shall not name would just kind of part ways, call it a day. You know, at that point in time, I just felt like this ain't going to work. I wanted to do everything to try and make it work because I had Ocean. But I definitely didn't think an actual life-changing event would happen where there was no other choice but to get out.
Yeah.
So yes, I think back on that Chris Medina session all the time. I think back on the podcast and I think about our solo Zoom that we did where I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. Do you think you'd eventually like to have him on again?
I would love to have him on again mm-hmm. because like I said, I think he's gifted and I think he offers me comfort. I like knowing that I'm on the right path. Like I don't want to know. I just want to know I'm on the right path.
Right.
You know, I want to mm-hmm. make sure that the moves that I'm making in life to further my career or being a good mama, that I'm doing everything correctly. Now, obviously, things come up and but I feel like he knows like what your fate is.
Yeah.
You know, he knows the outcome. So it's when I say trust in the universe, that's how I feel when I talk to Chris Medina. It's like I trust in him.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's one of those souls that is extremely gifted in a universe that we can't even comprehend.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. All right. Last but not least.
Hey, Lala. This is Erin from Alberta, Canada. I just got two palettes from Give Them Lala Beauty, the baby palette and the pretty palette, and your mascara in the mail yesterday, and I am so impressed with the product. Oh my God, the mascara. I just spent like $85 on a mascara at Sephora from Hourglass, I think. And your mascara, I am not just making this up or exaggerating, works better. I love it. And I'm a proud owner of many Give Them Lala products across all your companies. So my question today is, what would be like 3 do's and 3 don'ts that you would give to any woman who's looking to start her own company or business or a little side project online or anything like that? What's your best advice to women looking to get into business with something they love? Sending love to you in Ocean and happy holiday season. And I wish you an absolutely blessed new year. Love you, Lala. Thanks.
Ooh, Erin, first of all, thank you so much for supporting the Give Them Lala brand. I am so happy that you enjoy my products. I try my best to create things that I love that other people are going to love just as much, and also respecting how hard people work. So I'm not trying to put something out that's $84 for a mascara that I'm going to take off at the end of the day. Like, are you out of your mind? Like, we work hard and I'm trying to have a good product with a healthy cost, mm-hmm. right?
Healthy cost. You know, I love a healthy cost.
Love a healthy cost, which is like $42 for a palette that's going to last you forever. 9 shades, just saying. Mm-hmm. You can shop my brand at givethemlala.com. but I think that my 3 do's and 3 don'ts, I definitely don't think anyone should ever overextend themselves financially. Be smart with that. When you're thinking of creating your brand, even just a side hustle, come up with figures that make sense, that let's just say your company doesn't do what you thought it was going to do, that you don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, I dumped my life savings into this thinking that it was going to work. I also think that your brand should feed itself. Come up with your initial investment. I think the business should pay for itself. You know, to mm-hmm. sit here and keep dumping your own money to try and get it off the ground, I think taking a pause and saying, what are we doing that is making us not be able to, number one, recoup our investment, and number two, make a profit? Is it something that just isn't working? Maybe the market's oversaturated. Maybe you need to come up with something that is a little bit more original, which is very hard these days. I mean, there's 1,000,001 beauty brands. What is going to make yours special? So don't overextend yourself financially. The second, let your business feed itself. And 3, sit down and really think about what is going to separate your business from everyone else's. Do the research. Does the product already exist? If it does, what makes yours special? So those are kind of 3 do's and don'ts, but those would be my top.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Lisa agrees, so.
Well, if Lisa agrees, then we're good. I love those voicemails. Remember, please call me to leave all of your comments and questions at 1-866-LALAPOD. My guest coming up is not only stunning, she is inspiring. She's a businesswoman, and I cannot wait to deep dive into her life and who she is and how she came to be this incredible woman, mother, wife, just everything under the sun. So when we come back, we have Telly Swift.
The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming, finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We are back, and I am so excited because we have Telly Swift, and I'm a fan of yours. Hi, Telly.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Thank you for joining us on today's podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You're amazing. So I first have to ask you, where did you get the nickname Telly? Because obviously my name is not really Lala, and people are always like, what is this nickname that you've created for yourself? How did you get this nickname Telly?
So it was back, I guess, in like the seventh grade. I went to school in Japan. I went to high school and middle school in Japan. So I guess playing basketball, it stuck. They called me Telly, and it stuck with me since seventh or eighth grade, I want to say. So it's been Telly ever since. And the only people that really call me by my government name, which is Chantel, is like my man, my dad, my brother, and my mom. And that's it. Everyone else calls me Telly.
I love that.
Thank you.
I mean, my mom, I always know people call me Lauren instead of Lauren. So my mama is the only one that calls me by my government name as well. And everyone gets so confused. They're like, who is this Lauren that you're talking about? So love the nickname. Love the backstory. Why did you move to Japan? I know you're from the Philippines.
Yes, I was born in the Philippines. My father was military. So we moved like every 3 years. And then my ex-husband was stationed in Japan too. So I was there a little bit longer than I probably should have been. But I love Japan. It's a beautiful country.
I love that story. My mother lived in Japan as well because her father was in the army, and she absolutely loved it as well. So you were married once before. And by the way, you and your man are so cute. And I love how ride or die you are for each other.
Thank you. Yeah, that's my baby. He's amazing. Well, in total, we have 8 kids. So,
wow.
We have a household of children. So now that I'm in my room in like my alone time space, I'm like, yes, alone time.
I love that. So you're married for those who live under a rock and don't know who you are, which I know most of my listeners do know who you are. You are married to Deontay Wilder. And How did you two come to be and become this power couple?
So we actually met at LAX airport. It's so crazy. I was coming from, I had like a infection in my leg. And so I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks on like rotating antibiotics and medicine. And the reason why I say that backstory is because when we met at the airport, I saw one of my girlfriends and I was like, hey girl, I'm alive. You know, and I just completely stopped talking to him. So like, I was thinking he was going to wait and he left. So I was like, wait, where did he go? We were having such a good conversation. And leave it to Instagram, you know, on the Explorer page, one of his manager's sons I knew. And I guess that's how he came on my Explorer page. And then we were DMing each other. And then come to find out he's from Alabama and my dad's from Alabama. So that's kind of how I ended up going to Alabama earlier, because I had a family reunion, and the rest was history. And we've been together going on 7 years now.
Wow. 7 years. That is a very long time. And I have to say, okay, so you met each other at LAX. So you slid in his DM?
Yes. So what happened was he was on my Explorer page and I was like, wait, that's the guy from Alabama. And the conversation that we had at the airport was so short. And I kind of felt bad that I like just left and was talking to my friend. And he always tells people I was so rude. But I was like, but you didn't know that I was like coming from the hospital. You know, I was just in the airport and he didn't know who I was and I didn't know who he was. So our encounter was so quick. And I was like, oh, we were having such a good conversation about like Alabama and my father being from Alabama. And I just completely left. But I was so excited to see my friend and so excited to still have my leg. I was like, girl, I'm alive. I'm here kicking.
That made, I'm sure, you more intriguing to him because he's an athlete. And I'm sure, you know, girls sit there and would blow off their girlfriend to talk to this dude. And he was probably like, this girl didn't give me the time of day. There's intrigue there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I called it intrigue. He probably was like, she's a bitch. Can I curse? He's probably like, she's a bitch. She just left, you know? And I was like, every time we have this conversation, I'm like, I did not mean to just leave. I was just so excited to like see my girl and still have my leg and not have one leg.
Right.
Like, girl, I am kicking with two legs. I'm good, you know? And he was gone. So I'm like, okay, I get it. He had to catch his flight. I had to catch my flight too.
It was meant to be. You guys were meant to be together. The fact that he popped up on an Explore page where there's like millions upon millions.
Crazy. And the fact that his manager's son I knew from LA, and it was just like two and two together. It was crazy. And then like we got matching tattoos day two of being together. It's intense. Like our relationship was just so quick, so fast that I was like, okay, you know, when you have quick relationships, you don't think they're gonna last because they're so right. Quick, fast. And here we are 7 years later, 8 kids in. So we're definitely on the move to up and up.
Y'all were written in the stars. I have to ask you. So I'm newly single, right? And sliding in the DM, I'm new to. You know, I don't know if I have game anymore. Who knows? That's still up in the air. What did you say to him? What was like the game move? I mean, already you had an authentic encounter already. So maybe that switched the way you would have slid in the DM. But what did you say? Give me some pointers.
Girl, I actually was like, I'm really funny, or I think I am, I guess. I try to be at least. And I just said, hey, Bama, like we never finished our conversation because we never exchanged names. It was like, hey, where are you going? Where are you from? And then he was like, I'm going to Alabama. And where are you going? And I was like, well, I'm going back to Jersey. At the time, I lived in Jersey. So our conversation was so like short. And I saw my girl. And when I slid in his DMs, I was like, you know, his name on Instagram was Bronze Bomber. So I was like, hey, Bama, like, I know your name's not Bronze Bomber. So, you know, like it was just a short conversation in person that I was like, I didn't know how to approach him, you know, in the DMs because it was just so short of a conversation. And he was like, oh my gosh, like I was thinking about you on the plane and I sent my assistant to go look for you, but you were gone. So like the same feeling that I guess I had, he had as well too. So it was, I'm glad that it ended up working out that way. And then 2 weeks later, I went to Alabama, and I just came a little bit earlier than my than our family reunion, and we just chilled then.
And it was on and popping after that.
Yeah, like maybe like 3 months or 4 months after that, he had asked me to move to Alabama from Jersey. And I waited until, like, at the time I was in a condo, I waited for that lease to be done. And then I moved to Alabama. So it was like I said, our relationship was so quick that I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this true? Like, can this happen this fast? And I was just like, you know, in your head, you think that when a relationship goes fast, like, it's not going to last because right. everything's intense. Like, I moved there maybe like, I don't know, maybe 6 months into our relationship. And wow. Yeah, because I was nursing at the time, and I was.
So you had a young baby then when you first met him?
Yes, I had. He was, I want to say like 7 or 8. Now he's 15. So he was young. Yeah, he was young at the time. And then he had kids as well, too, when I met him. And then it wasn't until I moved over there that, like, I started meeting the kids and, you know, realizing how many kids he had, because I only thought he had 3 kids, but it ended up being much more than 3. So, yeah, it was definitely different moving in with him than it was, like, you know, having a long distance relationship. And the long distance to me was hard because I was working, like I said, as a nurse, and I was doing 12-hour shifts. And then, like, I was working 3 or 4 days a week, 12-hour shifts. And then I would go visit him for the weekend or whatever the case is. So I was like with him and work and him and work. And then I had a kid too. So I was like exhausted. I was like, right. Look, we got to figure this out. Either, you know, we can't see each other so much, or we see each other once a month instead of every other weekend or whatever the case is, but we got to figure it out. And he's like, well, why don't you just come here? And I was like, wait, what? Like, right. You know, for that? And he's like, yeah, no, you're good. Like, we're and mind you, this is date, like I said, day 2. He was like, you're going to be my wife. I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. I'm like, okay, no, like, how, you know? And he's like, we're getting matching tattoos. And I was like, okay. And he went first. So I was like, okay, now I have to go. Cause like,
no, you had to do it after that.
Yeah. I was like, I have to go now. So we have matching tattoos that says love when we hold hands. So I have the OE and he has the LV.
That is beyond amazing and adorable. And anytime I hear about couples that just have such a romantic, organic love connection, and, you know, they merge these families together and they make it work, it's a beautiful thing. And so you were married before. How old were you when you met Deontay?
I was, I'm 34 now. I turned 35 January 24th. I'm like, when is my birthday? But I was, I want to say 25, 26.
So that's young.
Yeah.
That's young. And you were coming, you had been married before. Were you ever afraid of meeting someone new? I don't know if your previous marriage was ugly, if you guys parted ways and it was amicable, but were you afraid of getting into another relationship? Like, did you have any battle wounds from your previous marriage?
Yeah, I think like all women, you know, we're strong, we're resilient. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when it comes to moving on and starting like a new relationship with someone else, I'm going to speak for women because I'm a woman. I feel like it's like we don't let in so quickly, you know, mm-hmm. hard for us to trust coming from a relationship that didn't work or failed. And, you know, my relationship to my ex-husband ended in a sense where I feel like I was at peace and okay with like us not being together anymore because he was my high school sweetheart. So mm-hmm. like, I was like at peace. I was like, okay, you know, it's time. We're ready. We're both ready to like grow and, you know, have separate lives. And my son was 2 at the time. And so like, he really didn't know any better because he's so young. So like, it was to me, that divorce was more of like a clearing and like a peaceful moment. Okay. And I didn't wait. Like, I waited a long time before I like committed to someone and introduced them to my son. And, you know, I waited a while. So it wasn't like I was just in another relationship as soon as I got out of my marriage. It did take time for like me to heal and like, you know, do I want to do this relationship thing again? Mm-hmm. Now, like dating? Yes. Like I definitely dated, but like a serious committed relationship, it wasn't until I got with Deontay that I was like, okay, here's my son, you know, like this is, you know, who I come with. This is my, you know, right. This is my bonus. And I have my brother as well too. So my brother, I was like, all right, if I move there, like I have my son and my brother. So I come in a package deal.
It's a package deal. Totally.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not leaving my brother to stay in Jersey. So my brother's still with us.
That is really amazing because I feel, you know, I come as a package deal now as well. I come with some brothers. I come with my beautiful daughter. I come with my mama. And if the person that I'm with next can accept that, then you can get to move in because it's all of us or it's none of us.
Right.
And I've always wondered because I'm obviously very newly single. My daughter is only 9 months old. When do you know that it's the right time to introduce your baby to someone? Like, I feel like she's like a luxury to be around. You know, you don't just get to meet her. Even though she's 9 months, she won't remember who you are.
That's how I feel too. Like, you know,
totally.
My kids are like my treasures. I'm a lioness when it comes to my kids. And if you don't get along with my kids, and he's the same way too. Like,
of course.
I taught the kids how to swim during COVID when COVID first started. And all the kids down to the baby knows how to swim. So it's just to me, like kids, like you said, it's like a luxury. It's a bonus. It's a treasure. And if I think there's like deal breakers, right? Like, I feel like if you can't include me and my family, deal breaker, if you can't, mm-hmm. if you don't see your, like my kid as your kid or like as you would treat them equally compared to your kids, or if you don't have kids, you know, that is a deal breaker to me too. And that's kind of the reason why, or one of the reasons why I fell in love with him is when we came back from our family reunion, I ended up coming back early. So there's no direct flights from where my family is from Alabama, and it's closer to where Deontay lived. So I ended up coming to Deontay's house. And I was like, okay, the catch is I have my brother and my son with me, you know, and this is after like meeting him for, I don't know, maybe like a weekend or something. And I'm like, okay, well, I have X, Y, and Z here with me, but I was already talking to him for like 2 weeks on the phone, like, you know, that no, you hang up type of situation. I was like, okay, he's cool enough to like, if he's cool enough to have my brother and my son here, then, you know, he's good in my book. So,
right.
And this is like literally just spending a weekend with him, which was a great weekend, which we got matching tattoos. So I'm like, all right, you're with me. Like, this is it. Like, you know, we have tattoos now. You can't go anywhere. So he was like, yeah, no problem. So I brought my son and my brother, and my son woke up in like literally the middle of the night. And he was like, mom, like looking for me in the house. And he was like, mom, where are you? So he finally finds me. And he was like, he could sleep in the bed with us. And I was just like, he's like, you could sleep
game
in the middle.
Over.
I was like, okay, you win.
You win the whole game.
Yeah, that was it. That was it for me. But yeah, he's one like an exceptional, like amazing father. So that's like my number one thing. Like, you have to love my kids, you know, mm-hmm. and he's all about kids, and like he wants 4 more kids, and we already have 8, and I'm like, it's not cheaper by the dozen. So I don't know.
Is that true?
I mean, coming up with these numbers, sir.
I think that's really sweet, though. You guys have 2 kids together?
No, we have 1.
You have 1 kid together.
Yeah. Mine was before him, and then his is before me as well, too.
And your, is it a boy?
We have a girl.
You have a little girl, and how old is she?
She's 3.
Oh my gosh, what a fun age.
Oh my gosh, so much fun and so much personality. Like,
she, oh yeah.
Oh my, she's in charge literally of all the other kids, and she's like the baby, and she's like, no guys, we're doing this. Everyone come over here. So,
I love it.
Oh my gosh, so much fun.
So much fun. So you meet Deontay, and my big thing right now, because of my breakup and just, you know, I got involved with my ex when I was 26, which depending on where you're from, you know, 26 could be a grown ass woman. For me, I was still trying to, you know, find my footing. I'm 31 now, and just my eyes are open to the world and what I want out of life. You have built a lot for yourself. There are many women that I find kind of fall into these relationships, and then at a certain point, they look around and go, I've been living my partner's dreams and none of my own.
Absolutely. You know what? I feel like a lot of women, like you said, fall into that. And I did as well, too. You know, because I left where I was from and came to where he was from, where I knew nobody. My family in Alabama lives 4 hours away from Deontay's house in Alabama at the time. So I didn't know anyone where we lived. I didn't have any friends. And, you know, in Cali, you dress differently than they dress in Alabama. So it's just different, completely right. Different. You know, the accent's different. The hospitality's different. So it was just completely different for me. And nursing out there, the pay cut was like, I don't know, like, I think it was like $13 or $14 less an hour than I was normally. Wow. I was like, there's no way I'm going back into the medical field over here because I'm not making any money. And then I'm going to be working 12-hour shifts and not feeling like I'm getting paid what I deserve to get paid or what I'm used to getting paid. So for years, it wasn't until after I got pregnant with my daughter, actually, that I like decided I wanted to focus back on like my own path, you know, mm-hmm. because that like he was his career. When I met him, his career was like on the rise. You know, he just became a champion, and his career was on the rise, like, you know, the entire time that I've been with him. So it wasn't until I got pregnant with my daughter and I was like, I can't just like sit here and do nothing. So got back into modeling. I was modeling since I was 3 years old, and I got back into modeling. And then I was like, you know what, if I'm not nursing anymore, I need to like open up or start my own business. So I started making jackets, like custom vintage one of one jackets. Then I made masks that are Neiman Marcus. Then I was like, okay, I want to give back now that I'm in a position to be able to give back. So I went to this academy for women, for WAGS. And there was an association for the women of the NFL and the NBA. And I was like, well, where's one for boxing? So I created one for the women of boxing. And then we've just done charity events, you know, moving forward for whatever month is, you know, is going on, whether it's breast cancer, autism. We've done spina bifida because his eldest daughter was born with spina bifida. So for all his fights, I always do spina bifida. So it just like, you know, continued on. And for 4 years, I was talking about this fragrance, like making a unisex fragrance. And Deontay was like always pushing it back. Oh, well, wait till we have more kids, or we'll wait till after next fight. And I'm like, all right, sir, it's been 4 years. What are we doing here?
Right.
And he was like, okay, well, if you want to do it, just go ahead and do it. And just, you know, let me know when it's done. So I was like, okay. So I did it. And by the time, like, I picked out the fonts, I sent him the fonts and the name. And he was just like, okay, what's this for? And I was like, the fragrance. He's like, okay, when are we going to like go test some smells out? And I was like, it's done, you know? And then
you just told me to go take the reins and do it. And it's done already.
Yeah. But it took a while. It took like over a little bit over like almost a year to produce. So he just like completely like thought I just stopped talking about it. And then when I brought up the name, because the name is D. Telly, and when I brought up the name and I sent him the fonts, I was like, which font do you like best? And he like circled the one that he liked, which is the same one that I liked. And he was like, what's this for? And I was like, the fragrance. And he was like, ready to like, you know, explore and smell all the notes.
Did he love it though? Did he love it when you presented the scent?
Yeah, he loves it. Because I knew, like, I know what he likes and I know what I like. So I put into consideration both like what he wanted, what I felt he would want in a fragrance, and what I wanted in a fragrance. The bottle is, I got to send you one. The bottle is gold and red, and ooh, his favorite color is like burgundy and gold. So I was like, I put in that into consideration. And then I was like, I knew I wanted it to be unisex. So I didn't want it to be too masculine or too feminine.
Right.
It smells completely different on a man than on a woman. It smells more feminine on a woman. And it took like forever to get down to the scent that I was like, I like how that smells on a man and I like how it smells on a woman. So it's I'm excited about it.
You are beyond inspiring, because I think a lot of women, again, I'm very passionate about this topic right now, and women having things that are their own and, you know, having a job or a career, something to give them funds for a rainy day. Your rainy day may look very different from mine. You may never have to use it. It could just be saved money for one day you want to go buy a Birkin bag, you know, whatever it may be. But the fact that you are in a relationship that, you know, you were nursing before, so you've always been a hustler with a beautiful heart, it sounds like. And you're also a mother. Like, how do you balance? We can all sit here and talk about, you know, there's not enough time in one day for you to be a mom, go to the gym, create a business, do all of these things. How do you make it happen?
You know what? I tell people all the time, like, it takes a village. You know, mm-hmm. I do have help. I have a nanny that helps me with my daughter, but I also have an amazing team of, you know, a manager, an assistant, publicist, like an amazing team that helps me manage everything. Cause if it wasn't for them, like my little notes in my phone, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do this. I forgot to right. do that. You know, so I have an amazing team of people that help me. But outside of my team, when I'm by myself, because obviously you can't, you know, the job doesn't get done unless you do it anyway.
Right.
So I feel like it's just like Nike. You just do it. You know, you just, I mean, one day you have a kid and then, you know, you've never had a kid before. You just learn how to be a mom, you know, on the job. I feel like that's been my life. I've always been like a fast learner and I've always been a hustler and a go-getter. So I had my son at, I was 19 turning 20 when I had my son. So I was still a baby and I had a baby, and I just learned literally on the job, you know, like breastfeeding was not really my cup of tea. Like I felt okay. like with like, I don't know, teeth, I feel like, cause he was like biting my nipple completely off. I was like, I can't do this. Similar, you know, but no, like I said, you learn on the job as far as like diapers and, you know, making sure the baby sleeps and like burping and all that stuff. Like it was like I was so young and married, and I was just like, all right, I just have to learn to do this. And I was the eldest of all my siblings. There's five of us. I'm like, hold on. Is there five of us?
Yeah, right. Count on the fingers.
I'm the eldest. Then my brother, he's 27. And then I have twin sisters that are 18. And then I have a brother that's six. Yeah, six.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of us. So yeah, I'm the eldest. So I had to be the responsible one and, you know, take care of others. So for me, like having a kid was like watching my siblings, but it's more of a, like a closer connection and bond, you know, as a mother that you have when you have your child, you know, it's like a unconditional, innocent, pure love that mm-hmm. it's so hard to explain, because you just, it just happens. Like literally, you know, as soon as you're pregnant and you feel like the first kick and you're like, oh my gosh, I just love her or him, or, you know.
Yes, I do know.
It's like indescribable. I can't even describe how it is to have a kid. That's why I feel like kids are blessings. And I'm good with the eight that we have, though.
You're like, I'm good. I don't need four more, Deontay. So we're wrapping it up. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That's a lot. I mean,
a lot.
That's a lot. Like, you guys, I mean, I'm all about like practicing to make the kid. That's always fun. I encourage you and Deontay to continue doing that. But we want to see everything else that you start coming out with. So I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk to you about a few more things, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back with Telly Swift.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
We are back with Telly Swift. So I definitely agree with you and the kids being such a gift. And I feel like if you can be a mom, when you become a mom, you become a superhero. Because they are the whole reason for why you do what you do every single day. Every decision you make, every, you know, business venture that you go into, you know, I'm sure you think about what you want to do, but ultimately it's like, how do I set my kid up for years to come? So I know that you were also on a reality TV show. I do reality TV. It's very weird. It's very strange. You sit there and you have to watch things back and you're like, I remember that differently.
Oh,
when you did, right? You're like, hold up, this looks a little different from what I remember. Was there a reason why you were like, yeah, this sounds fun. Like, let's do Wags Atlanta and, you know, see what it's all about. Like, what was your experience like?
Reality TV, like I said, I've been modeling since I was 3 years old. And reality TV, living in LA, always came to, like, my attention or always came on my table of, like, hey, do you want to do Basketball-Wise? Do you want to do Love and Hip Hop? I'm like, one, I'm not dating someone that was in basketball, so Basketball Wives for me wouldn't have worked.
Right. That doesn't make sense.
I'm not like a performer. I don't do music or I can't even dance. So I'm like, that doesn't work. And then when Wags hit me up, I was already with Deontay and I wanted more so outside of myself. I wanted people to see him outside of his job, which is a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people need to see him outside of, you know, being aggressive and beating ass for a living. So I was just like, this would be good for you and us as a couple, you know, and so people could see like how much of a father you are and what, like, you're funny or goofy, because people just see him like talking shit and beating ass. And I'm like,
right,
you know, not all of who you are. You know, so I wanted people to see like us as a couple, like our foundation, and him more so like as an individual and not like a boxer.
Did you feel like you got that from the show?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. He actually proposed to me on the show. Like, that was the finale of the show. And I ended up getting pregnant on the show. So like my whole storyline from the beginning of like when the show aired initially, like I had I wouldn't even call it beef, but I had like a misunderstanding with one of the girls on the show, and that was completely gone. That was completely gone. And my whole story was getting the ring because I got pregnant before I wanted to get pregnant. And that was the whole show. So it was like completely when I got pregnant, and it was crazy because he told them, and I lost a baby a year before that. Mm. Like, we lost a baby a year before
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry, Telly. I'm so sorry.
Got a blessing in return. So I'm happy with my daughter now. But when we lost the baby, I didn't want, and I lost the baby like, I want to say like 3 or 4 days before I found out the sex. So it was like a little over 4 months or just getting to 4 months. So I was already like showing visibly pregnant. And so I didn't want to tell like the producers, because, you know, once you tell them something, they're making a story out of it.
Right.
I was like, I don't want to tell them yet, because like, what if something happens and then I have to deal with all the people that's going to know that I was pregnant and then I lost another baby, and I didn't want that to be like something that I had to be traumatized and lived with again, you know. And he was just so excited that I was pregnant again that he just told the producers, and I'm like, oh my gosh, all right, like, now I can't stress. And, you know, reality TV is stressful. Like, they've mm-hmm. been situations that you don't necessarily want to be in or don't want to necessarily like face, I guess. And I was just in situations that I really didn't care to be in, you know, because I was pregnant, and I'm like, I don't want to stress and lose this baby for, this conversation with a girl that I can care less about, you know? Right.
Yeah, I do.
I just, that part of the reality TV, I didn't care too much about because like they pretty much have control over your likeliness and like who you are as a person or what you portray on TV is not really who you are in real life. Like reality TV is what they, the producers, the, you know, the showrunners or whatever, what they want to produce. So it's kind of like you don't really have control over that. So that's the hard part about reality TV, in a sense where you don't have control. Luckily with my situation, it was a little bit different because I got pregnant. So
yeah,
my storyline was more so like, okay, now that you're pregnant, you can't like just be a girlfriend all your life, you know? So that was kind of like, all right, well, what do you want him to do? And I'm like, okay, here he is like trying to buy me a bigger car, SUV. And I'm like, okay, but when are we getting married? Like, you know, I have a car, like we have yeah. 13 cars. Like, what are we doing car shopping? Like, we don't need cars, you know? So then that became my story of like, here we are going crib shopping, but where's my ring? Like,
right.
Here we are going, you know, bracelet shopping, but where's my ring? So everything was like, okay, but my ring, okay, but my ring. But in reality, like in real life, we were already talking about marriage way before I even got pregnant. So the show kind of made it look like I was just nagging about this ring that we already discussed years before I even got right. pregnant. But it was kind of like what they wanted to push.
Of course, because reality TV, what will be the most entertaining and what will give the audience a strong opinion and reaction to this? At the end of the day, even though it's quote unquote real things that are happening, you know, you're filming, I don't know how long Wags filmed for, Vanderpump Rules films for like 4 months, every single day, 8 hours a day sometimes. And then you chop that down to an hour episode for however many weeks, you see very little. Right. And that's hard. I'm sure it was hard for you too. You're watching this show and you're like, this is entertaining as fuck. Like, I dig it. But then people talking about you, you're like, I don't even recognize the person that they're talking about. And it's me.
Right. No, 110% completely get it. And like I said, when we started filming, it was like the person that I was filming with, I didn't really care to film with. And they knew that.
Oh, so they had you two together all the time then.
Right. Like, well, the person that like I was cool with on the show, we were cool. So it was kind of like me and her. But then, you know, the other girl that I wasn't cool with, she kind of teamed up with someone. And it was kind of like one of the girls came to like a married man's house in like lingerie. And I was like, oh, I didn't get the memo. I didn't know this is what we're doing, you know, and there's married men in here. There's men in relationships in here. Like, why are you coming with your titties out, girl? Like, this is not cute or classy or
right.
like, do this, you know? So that started drama. And like all that was on like the beginning, you know, episodes and stuff like that. So it kind of like that kind of faded out. And, you know, then it became the story of like, what are you guys going to do with your relationship? Are you guys going to be together, you know, or are you guys just going to have a baby and, you know, be together?
Did you feel pressured from producers or did Deontay feel any pressure?
I honestly feel like there was a lot of pressure going on, but like Deontay and me are both people that like aren't going to let people tell us what to do. So it was kind of, you know, there's certain scenes in the episodes where, for example, like they wanted me to take a pregnancy test. So I was like, okay, cool. And they were like, all right, this is how, you know, you're going to present it to him. And I'm like, okay, what do I look like just presenting him a stick in like our robes? You know what I'm saying? In the house, like, you know, so I'm like, this isn't what I would typically do, but it's kind of like, all right, well, we're going to have to show that I'm pregnant somehow, some way,
right.
You know, so it was kind of like the way. And even though we already knew I was pregnant, like we had to kind of act surprised, you know, like, oh my God,
right.
You're pregnant. We're pregnant. And, you know, he was more surprised than I was because I was like, I know I'm pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was it like that type of stuff. Or like, for example, like the girl that I didn't get along with, you know, they'd be like, oh, you have a lunch date with someone. And I'm like, who is it? Because you guys know I don't want to film with who I don't want to film with. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just letting you know that this is how I'm coming because I'm not about to stress out because I'm pregnant, you know?
Right.
So Like, there's certain times that I was like, okay, well, if you guys are going to have a group filming situation and she's going to be there, like, I don't want to argue today, so I'd rather just not go.
So would you ever do it again? Would you ever, if someone came to you and said, we want you on a reality show, or do you think you've had enough?
I would do it if I had control over, like, I guess, producing, like, you know, producers on the show, where I have control over what goes out. I would do that. But as far as just like being a talent on the show, I probably wouldn't do it again, because it's just, unless it's like a positive, like, woman empowerment show, then I would do that. Like, I get that there has to be some type of drama, but not drama to the point where it breaks up families or that type of drama.
It becomes a very negative space if you can't compartmentalize real life from real life, I guess, you know, right. Where unless you're filming, you put that hat on, you know what the drill is, and then when you go home, you can separate the two. It can become a very toxic environment. So I get it. And when you're going toes with women all day, and, you know, we're all sitting here talking about how we're supposed to lift each other up, but then I'm supposed to drag this bitch.
Right.
It's kind of a mind fuck. And
yeah,
you have a term that I've never heard before. Fempowerist. Like, what does that mean for listeners who have never heard that before?
Initially, when I trademarked the word fempowerist, I wanted to create like a app for women to empower women to just be like, you know, great, and mentally be great too. It's not just physically, because it had like, well, what I initially got it for, like, I wanted to do fitness tips, dating tips, motivational daily quotes, just like every do's and don'ts in relationships, or when it, like you said, when is it okay to present your kid, or when is it okay to burp or fart in front of a man, or just, you know, like little tips that I would want, you know, coming out of a marriage or a relationship, or just being single, you know, like things that I feel like women need to know coming into relationships, or just being a woman. Like, you know, there's a lot of women that don't know how to be ladylike, or don't have, you know, etiquette. And so it was kind of like one of those type of situations, but the app developer that I had, it didn't work out. So that I have yet to do. So I trademarked the word, and, you know, now I'm kind of like, do I want to get into that field of apps, or more so because I love clothes and fashion so much that I kind of want to turn the Fempowerist brand into like an athleisure, like, wear for women that accentuates like your curves. And
ooh, I love that. But I have a flat ass. Can you do something that accentuates my flat ass too?
Girl, get the lifters and everything, girl. Don't worry.
I love it. I love it. I love the word Fempowerist. And I think it's amazing to, the app idea is obviously genius, but to turn it into an athleisure line, because we're all out here wanting to like look like we worked out, or we really did work out, and then put it on with some heels and like go twerk at the club, you know?
Right, exactly. And I kind of want it to be like, you know, Tom Brown, like, it's like they have like sweats, but you could still wear it out. Club, or you could still wear it to the airport and be fashionable but still be comfy. And that's kind of what I want, but more so, instead of fashion and comfy, I want to add, like, you know, like a woman. So I want to accentuate, like, you know, under boob, or like
yes,
butt lift, or like curves, like, you know, to where the stitching like makes you look more curvy than you naturally are, or just like, just to accentuate like just being a woman and being powerful. And I kind of wanted to go towards that as opposed to the app, because I feel like, you know, there's people that have apps and there's people that have athleisure wear too, but like, I wanted to solely focus on like womanism and just like being a strong, powerful woman.
I love that. I love everything about what you just said. And I think that you are incredibly inspiring from your work ethic. Of course, I think it's important when a woman is doing something great that we let them know they're doing great. So I want you to tell our listeners and me how we can get involved in your Boxing Wags Association.
Yes. So Boxing Wags, we have the women of boxing. Like I said, we do like all types of different events. The last event I did, I collaborated with Cookies. Cookies is a cannabis company, and we had a toy drive for the children. And we donated toys to children that were in need. So I collaborated with them. Before that, I had an event in Vegas with Versace and Balenciaga. So where we shop, wow, and the proceeds go to charity of their choice. So we just collaborate with different walks of people or different whatever is going on at the month. Next event, I probably, because I have the fragrance going on right now, so it's like 20 million things, 20 million times. But the next event will probably be, I want, fingers crossed, to probably be around like March.
Okay.
March or something like that. But all the events and information you can find at Boxing Wags Association on Instagram, and our website is boxingwagsassociation.org. Everything that we do or have going on is on both of those pages.
Amazing. Dude, thank you so much for joining me on Give Them Lala today. I'm sure you've inspired all of my listeners as well. You look absolutely stunning. I'm going to go and get my get up like how you have yours right
now. You're beautiful, girl. You're beautiful. You are amazing.
Thank you, my love. And we'll keep in touch. And I'm trying to try this fragrance. Where can people buy this?
Yes. So you can buy it at DTELLI. fragrances.com, and we are going to be in stores soon. I'm so excited. We're going to be in Nordstrom and Bloomingdale's in the following months. So I'm super excited for that.
Girl, I'm so proud of everything you have going on. I'm so grateful to have you. So go enjoy your day, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.